Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I am your host for the podcast. Now today we are talking to the lovely Carol. It's a tough subject today. It's all about losing a child, and unfortunately Carol has been through that. Now I haven't been through that and I haven't experienced that, but my sister has. And as somebody who hasn't actually experienced it, it is really hard to put yourself in that space. I can only imagine what it would be like to lose a child, and my imagination is just, it's devastating. I don't know whether I would be able to cope with it. I don't know how I would go, what I would do. And this is where we've got Carol to be able to give us an understanding and walk us through this step by step. What it's all about. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? What are those steps that you take to get through this, to get back to trusting life again, to get back to the resilience that you had? And Carol is going to help us with this because this is her story. And this is really, it's really important to get an understanding of what somebody is experiencing when they've lost a child and how they can step through it. So welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you so much, Susan, for inviting me.
And
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, look, it's not a good story to start with, but it is really worthwhile sharing it with others because somebody else, well, I can imagine there'd be a lot of people that would be going through this and not knowing how to get through it, not knowing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you can tell, you can show us that light because you have lived through it, you have worked through it. So what I want to get an understanding of is just a brief understanding of how it started and where you're at now. We want to know a little bit more about Carol.
I could tell you that right now in my life, I am happy. That's why I am here, because I want to share with your audience and the world that at one time I was very, very grieving the loss of my daughter, her death. And now 30 years later, I'm very, very happy to be alive. I'm very happy to be here. And I want to tell you that please have faith. You can get through this. My torture and my grief began March 19th, 1992. It's a long time ago, many, many years ago. Actually, now it's 31 years. I started writing the book 30 years after my daughter Paula died. She was 24 years old. And she passed away with a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot, to her lungs. And from there, from the lungs, it traveled to her heart. And that is what caused her death. And I got the information on the telephone from the doctor. He called me on March 19th, about 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was the emergency room doctor that called. And he was very matter of fact. In fact, he had no emotion at all when I found out who he was. He just went on and on and on about the procedure that he worked on with Paula. And that was an operation. They opened up her heart, her chest, cleaned out her lungs, and she was just filled with massive blood clotting. And that was the beginning.
That must have been so hard, just to get a phone call out of the blue, not knowing anything was going on, from a doctor or from anybody without any emotion attached to it. That must have been just horrific. Like, how do you cope with that? What were you feeling? What were you going through when you got this phone call?
Well, first, that phone call was like no other call I've ever received in my life. It was a living nightmare. when he spoke, I tried to incorporate what he was saying, and I wanted to ask questions, but it was like my mind could not grasp everything. He was going so fast and so uncaring. It was like he wasn't even talking to me about my baby. He wasn't talking to me about my daughter that I love. He was just talking about some patient that this just happened to. Well, to me, it wasn't just a patient. It was my child.
Oh, Carol, I just can't imagine that, because that would have been out of the blue, wouldn't it? What was happening in your life when you got this call?
Well, I had just moved into my fiance's home. I had been divorced for 4 going on 5 years. I had met Denny about a year before this happened with my daughter, and we dated and we got engaged. And now in 2 weeks, from March 19th, 2 weeks later, I was planning on getting married. So I had just moved into his home, and my family really, back then we didn't have cell phones, so the landline, I don't know exactly who had Denny's landline to reach me. Paula did, but obviously she was unconscious in the emergency room, so her fiance, who was out in the waiting room, he didn't have the number. So they didn't call me right away. I did get the call at 7 a.m. on March 19th.
Wow. And I just have to say, March 19th is my eldest daughter's birthday too, which is really, you start to really get these connections, don't you? It's really quite challenging. So you've received this phone call. The doctor would be almost talking garbage to you because of your head would be going all over the place. I mean, I don't know what I'd be thinking. So what did you do? You raced straight to the hospital?
Well, the first thing I did was I called Denny. And I told him about the phone call I got, and he said, "I'll come right home and take you." And I said, no, don't take me. I'll drive myself." That is crazy that I said that, but that was the mental part that I was in. It was like this dream, and I was going to do this all by myself. I was going to take care of this matter. But I had no control over this matter anymore. It was already done. It was finished. And even my sister, who lived across the street, I called her and she wanted to take me. No, I was going to go by myself. Well, Denny did wind up taking me to the hospital. And what I do recall is on that drive there, I kept on saying, "You're not going fast enough. This is what I was thinking. You're not going fast enough. You're not going fast enough." I was in a living nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. So you've got to the hospital. I really just can't even picture it. You've got to the hospital. What happened then, Carol?
Well, when we got there, I went directly to the ICU, the intensive care unit, and the receptionist asked me to be seated. There was a lot of people in the waiting room, and I remember saying, "I'm not going to sit down. I want to see my daughter. Take me to my daughter." So she did call. She finally called up some number, and a nurse came to get me and Danny, and we did walk into the ICU unit. And all I remember is that I saw they had like these tents in there, like a canopies over the bed, and they led me to Paula's area. When I walked inside of the area, she was there in the bed, and it was like watching television, the emergency room where you have all this equipment and all these machines, and all you could hear is the pump going. There was a pump that was pumping her heart. And I glanced at the equipment, which was a brainwave scan, and that was, the line was going flat. It was a flat line. So what that told me is that there's something not right here. My daughter she's not breathing on her own. When I came close to her, the biggest thing that I noticed, and I don't know how this happened, it never happened to me ever before, I didn't feel her soul. That was the first thing that I thought of. Now, I never was in a situation where I felt someone's soul, but there was something missing from my daughter. It was life itself. It was her soul was gone. And that's a memory that I will always remember, you know, just always remember, and no one could ever take it away from me. And when I think of it, I know that my daughter, Paula, was already in heaven.
Oh, that must have been so tough. So they've had her, you can see that she's not there. Like it's so challenging for people to get an understanding of being able to see somebody and know that their life force, their soul, their God within them has gone. It's not there. And you've seen that and you've witnessed that. So what happened then? Because they would have had the machines going and different things like that. So what did you have to do then?
Well, the doctor, you know, entered and explained to me the procedure that they went through. They did operate on her, and she had the massive blood clot that went into the lungs, and then it went into the heart, and that's where her heart stopped. And so they did this massive extraction of the blood clots, and he made it obvious and known that there was so many, and they stitched her back up. And he told me that according to the state, this was in Illinois, the state of Illinois, that they had to keep her on the equipment for 48 hours. And so I had to be there, not the whole 48 hours, but back and forth from there to home and back several times. I had to witness this equipment on my daughter, keeping her heart going. Seeing that her eyes were dilated, you couldn't even see her beautiful blue eyes. It was just her black pupils. There was just no, absolutely no life. There was no life in her. And at the end of the 48 hours, the decision was made to disconnect her. And yes, I did sign the papers. I did not want my daughter to live with equipment hooked up to her, because that was not living. That was not a life. Her brainwave never came back. It's flat line. When they took the equipment off, it was over. There was just absolutely no pumping in the heart at all. So that was the final proof that was the equipment that kept her alive.
Wow. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is just, thank you for sharing this. I know how hard it is, but I want to move on after all this, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a light we can go to. But I can imagine you were due to have your wedding in 2 weeks' time after you've going through this. I can imagine that would have just been, the whole world would have been turned upside down. How did you keep going? How did you step forward from there?
Well, first of all, the band that I was married turned out to be like a living band-aid to me. It was a small town that he lived in, and he knew everyone. He was a dentist there, and so everyone knew him, and he knew everyone. He totally helped me through the organization in the process of burying my daughter. He took me to the funeral parlor. He took me to the florist. I went shopping alone because I wanted to do that alone, to buy my daughter's outfit for her the last thing I've ever bought her. And I had to get through the process of the funeral. That's what was such a big part of that living nightmare, is that I'm doing these things like a robot. It's just like I'm just functioning, trying to get everything together and putting on something beautiful, because I wanted to honor my daughter's life. And back then they did have the larger funerals. She was, you know, at the wake. We had that for 2 days. So that was an event that I planned. Daddy helped me with it. Jill, my daughter, she came through and she helped me. And
Hang on. We've got to stop there, Carol. When you're saying your daughter came through and helped you, are you talking about your other daughter? Because you've got another daughter.
Yes.
Are you talking about Paula, the daughter that's passed?
No, right. As far as getting prepared for the funeral, that was Paula's sister. And that was my eldest daughter. And she's the one who wrapped her arms around me with Denny. And then I had the one entity that was the most important in my life is God. God came to me and held us together as a family. And those next 3 days of the preparation and the 2 days of the wake and the funeral, I functioned. Everyone thought I was doing fine and well. My heart was broken, but I did have the support that I needed. And something beautiful did happen to me at the wake. And that is that I did have this beautiful feeling that came into me that my baby was in heaven. It was just something that please don't say you're sorry. Everybody was telling me how sorry. It was just like, no, she's in heaven. My daughter is in a better place. She's in heaven.
That's amazing, because what you've just sort of said then is that the faith has helped you get through that feeling that she is safe, she is fine, she's in heaven, she's got support, she's got everything she needs. It's a real reassuring feeling too. And then I know that you're going through a lot, and even going through the preparing for the funeral and things like that, that's all part of the grieving process, isn't it? It's all part of us dealing with it and getting through it the best way we can.
Yeah, that was the experience that I had. And then you have all these people there. And I there were many people I didn't even know that came, because he was well known. Denny was well known in the area that he lived. So I had strangers that I was meeting, but he was there for Denny's benefit, to show him respect, and they wanted to help me, his wife, to be. And it was like, you have these people there, they're helping you. It's when the night comes, when everything is over and done, that is when you find yourself alone. You have no more people telling you I'm sorry, no more people trying to make you feel better. You are with yourself and your own thoughts and your own prayers. And I'll tell you something, that's, Susan, that's really when my God, my Holy Spirit came to me and helped me.
That is the most important part, isn't it, Carol? It's you can have so much external help, external support, but when it comes to that final crunch where it's just you and your faith, that's when it's so, so important to help you get through it. So I really respect that. I really get that understanding of it, because if you don't have that, if you don't have some sort of a belief within you, then life would be really, really challenging.
Well, I wrote in the book that without God in my life, and over the course of all those years, without him being in my life, there would be no reason to live. I mean, God gave me the beautiful feeling that I could be with my daughter again someday. I will see her again. That's what heaven is about. Heaven is another place that we go to when we do physically die here on earth. And yes, I did. I chose to believe. I chose to believe in heaven. And I wanted nothing more them to be able to see my daughter, put my arms around her, love her and kiss her, and where she would say to me, Mom, welcome home to heaven. That is what I look for.
That's beautiful. I love that. So Carol, you've gone through this, you've gone through all this situation, and I know that you're an artist. We see these beautiful pictures. If you're not on the video, you won't see these gorgeous pictures that Carol's got behind her. So jump on the video and have a look at that. But one of the ways that you've used a lot of faith, and that's brilliant to get through anything like that. You've got lovely support around you, but you've also gone a lot more into your artwork. Now, you did tell me that you started painting when you were like 6 years old or something.
I did.
Correct? Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about your artwork and how that's helped you get through all this.
Well, I never realized how important a hobby or something that you loved to do in your spare time could actually be your medicine. And the art did turn out to be my medicine. After Paula died, I decided to go back to painting because I had the Holy Spirit was telling me that you have to be strong. You have to do things for yourself. You have to pull yourself out of this. You must do things that are positive. So that is exactly what I did, is that I poured myself. I did work. I had a full-time job, but on the evenings and weekends, I chose to paint and to capture some happiness in painting instead of just sitting there and crying. And this did help me. And this is something that I really write about, to try to explain that you have to find strength within yourself that you never had before. Because when you do lose your child, it's so hard for me to even explain to someone else how it hurts, because you can't do anything ever again with them physically. And so I wanted to be able to do something that would help me. I knew Paula was already in heaven and she was fine, but now I had to help myself because I did want to live. I had a lot to live for. My other daughter, I have a new marriage, I have family, I have sisters, I have family that love me and friends. I didn't want to just not be part of them anymore. So this is what you have to do. You have to take a look at what you have around you, and you have to bring them into your life and wrap your arms around them.
Yeah. So in doing the artwork, when you were doing that, I mean, I know I've dabbled. I'm definitely not an artist like you are. That is gorgeous. The eagles behind you are beautiful, but definitely not that way inclined. But I know I can get out some paper and I can start dabbling with art, and your whole persona, your whole mood changes. You start to really connect with what you're doing. And the other aspect I wanted to bring forward too is, because you have written a book, I've written a book too, and it's like when you start writing that book, it takes you on another journey, doesn't it? It takes you on a... And I guess it's about what you're writing. And I guess where I'm going here is finding some of the tools and some of those things that can help you take your head, your space away from the grieving, and start to utilize that emotion in some other way. And we can do that with painting like you've done. And we can do that with writing. We can do that journaling and the writing we can do to help us move forward, to help us get through this sort of situation. So you started on your art, and you did tell me earlier, one of the other aspects that you like to talk about as far as helping people get through grieving was the art of giving. You were talking about that. Can you explain a little bit more about the art of giving? Because that does bring in your artwork as well.
Mm-hmm. And basically what art is, it's being creative. You're creating something, just like writing. If you write a book, you're creating something. You're creating a story. With me, my art is a story on paper. And that is really something that filled me up with happiness. Because when I got done with the painting, I would look at it and I would say, boy, you know, that took me like 20 hours to paint. That's 20 hours that I didn't cry over Paula. That's part of healing. That's the beginning of my healing. And if you're not an artist, I suggest in my book, make a beautiful salad for your family. if you sew, start maybe creating some of your own clothes or something for your children. If you knit a sweater, knit a blanket, do something creative. Creativity will get your mind to a better place than that dark pit of where you're hurting and you have all of that grief. Grief is what is the dangerous part, and you don't want a lot of grief. And Susan, what that last part that you wanted me to talk about. I'm 78 going on 79 now, so I get a chance to forget right in the middle of it.
Look, you look so good for your age. No, what I was asking you, you were talking about your artwork, and then you said your daughter was going to a few events and asked if you had any artwork that she could donate. And we start to look in that aspect of that art of giving. And I've noticed that with the grief. When I'm feeling a little bit grievy or when something's happened like that, when you start to give, it helps. How did it help for you, and what was that all about?
Well, I wanted that. I had that feeling of giving, and I had no idea where that was coming from. But then I did figure it out. I knew that if I wanted to see my daughter again, I had to go to heaven. So I changed completely. I just, instead of me wanting to make something and selling it and making money all the time, I just started giving. I would, and I was painting fast too, because it was just more energy I was exerting on, you know, that instead of the crying part. And I started giving. My older daughter, she would say, "Mom, do you have any paintings that I can give? I'm going to a dance tonight. They've got an auction." And I would say, "Yeah, take a couple of these." And what that did for me was it made me realize that I was sharing part of myself. What was in those paintings, because I made them, was a lot of my excelling the grief that I had, living through some of my memories, and I was giving that in goodwill, and it made me happy, and it made other people happy. So I did spend the last 30 years of practicing to giving, of the giving of myself.
Yes. It's very different, isn't it? It's not just giving money, and it's not just giving, I don't know, it's a real energy exchange. It's like you're giving part of who you are. Even for me to do the podcast, there's a lot of work in podcasts, but I feel like I'm giving back by being able to share these sort of stories. And that's all part of that process of you know, going through life and getting through it. What I want to bring up now before we go any further, because there is people that are actually listening, not just watching, and I've got the little ticker tape going past. And on that little ticker tape is all about your book, Carol, which is called 30, A Mother's Spiritual Journey After Losing Her Child. And you can get that on her website too, on Carol's website. And Carol is with a E at the end, but all the details will be down below. So you'll be able to connect with Carol on the website. Where I want to go next, Carol, is so you've gone through this horrific situation where you've lost your daughter. Then you're going through these steps to help you heal as well, which part of that was your faith, part of that was your artwork, and then the final sort of part was about giving, the gift of giving and sharing with that side of it, which is what you've done in your book, because your book is all about losing a child and some of the steps that you can take. I know, because we've talked earlier, I know that you went through a lot of health issues yourself, and there's one particular one you talked about. And I just felt this was really, really relevant in what you were saying, because you all of a sudden had some heart situation that you had never had before. And it was something that you referred to the doctor to, and you had to get an understanding of it. Can you just share us a little bit? Because I know when it sounds really easy that you go through this grief, you go through this horrific situation, and this is what you do to get better. But it doesn't always work that way. We have a lot of highs and lows along the journey that you have had. And as you said, it's been 30 years, over 30 years. So you have lots of highs and lows. But there was one particular one about a heart situation. I would love you to share that with, if you wouldn't mind.
That's, yeah, absolutely. Well, this is less than 10 years ago. So you figure I lived through the first 20 years and with some physical problems. And I do go into that in the book. But the big one that really where I almost died, in fact, I almost died twice from it, is that I wound up having a heart disease. It's called non-ischemic cardiomyopathy. And the non-ischemic part is that the doctors did not know how or why I developed this disease. And I asked, what could it possibly be because of heartache? Because of a broken heart. I lost my daughter so many years ago. And I've suffered a lot of grief. And my doctor said, absolutely, there is not just more than theory, but they have done studies. And yes, grief can cause a lot of medical problems. And of course, it can danger your heart. So I miraculously was able to live through that. My reading on the Doppler, if anyone has any medical knowledge out there, knows that on the Doppler, your reading should be anywhere between, let's say, 50, 55 to 70. My first reading was 14. So what that meant is that my heart was hardly working. The muscle was weak, very, very weak. So it was not pumping a lot of blood. Well, that gave me shortage of my oxygen. So I couldn't even walk up the stairs. I was so tired. It was like I had to catch my breath. So I went to my doctor and they did a thorough workup and bango, that's what happened. No surgery. The only surgery that I could have to help me would be heart transplant. And they did put me on medication to see how that would work. Well, I have to be honest, I don't even know if I could have handled thinking about a heart transplant. But thank God I never had to go through that. The medication that they put me on over the years, and I think my praying, my devout faith in God saved my life. I literally have a fairly normal heart. My heart has increased dramatically with its strength.
So it just goes to show you how our emotions can affect our physical body so dramatically. You know, when you're living in this grief and this, living in that sort of situation, if you just continue to go along in the same path, there is going to be other things that are happening. If we don't seek help or seek guidance or seek some sort of an understanding of it, you aren't going to grow and develop. You have to keep on growing and developing. You have to keep using the tools that you've learned and move, go forward all the time. And again, you've done that through artwork. You've done that through your faith. You've done that through the gift of giving. You've got lots of different areas there. And still, you have still experienced these situations. But the first thing you've done, I mean, you've gone to the doctors and you've got all the physical aspect of it, but the reality is, and I might be overstepping the mark here, but the reality is it was your faith that actually has helped you get through that.
I absolutely agree. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, number one, without God in my life, there's no reason for me to live. Absolutely no reason, because if without God, there is no heaven. So without a heaven, I choose that I just couldn't, I don't want it. I couldn't live like that. My faith has brought me happiness. It's brought me reality that, yes, I can get through this. I can find ways of being happy. And as I mentioned to you earlier, Susan, I talked a lot about structure. That's one of the things that came into my mind is, Carol, in order to do things that are going to help you, you must be structured. You have to set out in your mind certain things you're going to do, even if it's on a schedule, but do it.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm talking and didn't jump in. Yes, you did mention it. I forgot all about that. So when you were talking about the structure, when Carol was telling me earlier about it, it was like this was how she got through the day, just to get through the day. It was like, if I get up in the morning, I have to do this first. Otherwise, now I think it was like I had to have my shower first, because if I had a coffee first, I would end up sitting there blubbering in tears and not being able to do anything else. And it was amazing. It was so, look, you know, for people that aren't going through grief, it was so, that's silly. I do that every day. But when you're going through grief, when you're so emotionally caught up with everything, it's those simple basic steps that we have to do to get ourselves out of it. And I liked that you expressed that the first thing I had to do was have a shower. Couldn't do anything else until I had my shower, because that allowed me to think of the day going forward, where I was going to go next, how I was going to approach the day. Just because we're getting close to the end, just run through that again, Carol. That was really interesting. And I know it's in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, because, you know, what was happening to me is when you first wake up, the first thing you do is for seconds, I'm happy. Another beautiful day. But then there comes that black cloud, the dark pit. I remember, oh my gosh, Paula's gone. She's not here. So then you go into your little depression. It gets bigger and bigger. You wind up staying in bed for an hour, 2 hours, crying. This wears you out. This takes out energy. So that's when I decided that, okay, God told me. He told me what to do. So now I have to figure this out, and I'm going to do this. I would jump out of bed, 7 a.m., take my shower first, then make my coffee, and I would get ready and get dressed and go out and work. I started working again. I did have a job, and they gave me off time, but it was plenty of time for me to say, you've got to start working again. And you know what really surprised me is that when I was in sales, so when I started calling my customers, you know, Carol, where have you been? We haven't heard from you for, you know, a month or so. And I told them about what happened with my daughter. What surprised me and what made me feel so good is that by me taking this step to do something proactive, in return, I had these wonderful customers tell me they were happy to hear from me. They were so sorry for me. And they started talking to me about God, that God's going to take care of you. You know, you're going to be fine. And it was just like a massive net of flowing around me, that I had support that I didn't even know. I really didn't know these people personally, but here they were, happy to hear from me and telling me that I was going to make it.
Yeah, and it is that support, isn't it? And you don't realize when you start to share a little bit about the story how much support you can get from it, you know, because we've all been through our grieving periods. We've all experienced different levels of it and different understandings of it. So it's really nice to be able to, again, they're healing and helping themselves by giving to you as well. So it's a beautiful cycle of life that's going around. But we are starting to get a little bit low on time. I just want you to, if you wouldn't mind, share a little bit about your book, because it sounds amazing.
Well, I would write, and I was telling Susan about this, and I talked to other writers, and they said the same thing. It's happened to them. I would write a whole day, then the next morning I would go back to the desk and read what I wrote. And so many times in so many days, I would say, oh my gosh, is that beautiful? did I really write it? I started to even write poetry in the book. It was like, oh my, it was just, how did I think of that? How did I analyze that so well to come out with that decision or the way things work? And it was because I had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped me write this book. I truly, truly believe it. And you know, I would like, Susan, to end this, our little conversation, yep, by being interviewed to benefit, I hope to benefit someone out there, to help them feel that they've got hope. But this is one of the poems that I wrote. Now,
this is a poem in your book?
Yeah, well, my eagle here is on the book. You could see the original, yes, is right there, yeah, right over here. That's the original eagle that I painted, and that's the cover of my book.
Yeah.
So on the day that I finished the painting, I went upstairs, and this is what I wrote. I visualized I was standing in the middle of a field looking up into the baby blue sky. The clouds are fluffy like huge cotton balls spreading across as far as one can see. The sun's rays are glimmering, shining through, and like the clouds shining through beyond and through the clouds down to the earth, as a faint rainbow starts to appear. Then out of nowhere comes this beautiful eagle with its wings spread wide, gliding down as it picks up Paula's soul and flies her up to heaven.
Oh, that's lovely. So that's the eagle on the cover. Oops, sorry, I'm talking without being on there. That's fantastic. So, guys, you can get the book. It's all down in the descriptions down below. You'll be able to jump onto Carol's website and get the book from there, I'm imagining, or from Amazon or wherever it is. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for being on the show, Carol. That was really, really good. I mean, it's not a really good story, but it is a really good way of explaining how you can get through these sort of situations. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for having me.
Look, guys, you've got to jump on and jump into the website. So it is carolslewski.com. So it's C-A-R-O-L-E, Carol with an E, S-L-U-S-K-I.com. So jump onto the website and have a look. Now, if anybody is going through anything like this, if you are experiencing a lot of grief, a lot of deeper depression, that sort of side of things, make sure you seek help. It is to be able to have a shoulder to cry on or an ear that somebody is listening. I have not been through that, but I've got a great listening ear. I really enjoy hearing things like that. But somebody like Carol, reach out to them. Reach out and connect with them. They're there to help you. She's there to give you some support, some guidance. She's there with a book, even if that's how you want to get your information. It doesn't matter, but don't sit in that quagmire. Start to take those steps to get out, and this little book can help too. So make sure you check it out and have a look at it. Okay, we're all feeling for you. We're all here for you. If you do need help, just ask. But that is it from me today. I have spoken enough. Have a great week, and we will see you all next week. Bye for now.